Today on the pastor's study, we're going to be in begin in two places in Scripture. The first one will be Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 15, and 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 7. And we'll see that these two verses, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament, say about the same thing. So first let's look in Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, verse 15. The Word of God has this to say. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. Now let's turn together to 1 Timothy chapter number 6 in verse number 7. The Word of God has this to say. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The Word of God tells us that we enter and exit this world the same way. That's naked and without anything material. There's an old expression that goes, you can't take it with you. In other words, my friend, you can't take your accumulated wealth, your bank account, stocks and bonds, pension, home and property with you. In other words, you can't take your education, be it your PhD, your master's, your undergraduate degree, whatever it may be. That's right, you can't take your education with you. In other words, you can't take your accomplishments, your Academy Awards, your Nobel Peace Prize, your Pulitzer Prize, your Super Bowl ring, being heavyweight champion of the world, being the first man to fly from New York to Paris, being the first man to land on the moon, being the man who found out the cure for polio. My dear friend, you cannot take your accomplishments with you. And you can't take your position, be it a king or queen or president, prime minister, senator, congressman, mayor, governor, a conductor of a major city symphony, CEO of Xerox, Microsoft, Ford, GM, or Chrysler, or one of the Fortune 500 companies. Yes, my friend, you can't take your position with you. My friend, you're going to exit this world the same way you entered it, naked and empty-handed. While this is true regarding the temporal things, things that are in the physical realm, things that can be seen, we can take some things with us when we exit this world that are not seen. The Apostle Paul tells us the things that are not seen are eternal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, Paul had this to say. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In our study today, I want us to look at some things that you and I need to take to the grave with us. Amen. The first thing we need to take to the grave with us is a salvation experience. A salvation experience. In other words, my dear friends, you must remember, you would have had to remember a time and a place in your life, in your individual life, that you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You did as the scriptures tell us over there in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And in verse 13 of Romans 10, we read, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, in the Gospel of John, the third chapter, Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Now, my dear friend, I'm not talking about an emotional experience where you blabbered in some unknown gibberish while falling backwards on the floor. I'm not talking about going into a little box and confessing your sins to a man dressed in black. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being sprinkled as an infant or being totally immersed as an adult. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about eating a little wafer that has been changed into God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a time and a place that you realized in your heart that, number one, you were a sinner, and number two, because of your sin, that you deserved to die and go to hell. Amen. But you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from going to a sinner's hell and trusting in only Christ's shed blood to pay for your sins. The Bible tells us over there in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. You see, my dear friend, all the money in the world will never, ever be able to save your soul. The only thing that will be able to save your soul and forgive you your sins is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had this to say, beginning in verse number 35. Jesus said this, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospel, the same shall save it. What Christ was talking about here, amen, when you take a stand for Jesus Christ and the things of Christ, amen, you're going to lose your reputation, amen, with the unsaved, but amen, you're going to save your life. In other words, you're going to save your spiritual, your eternal life someday. While those that have nothing to do with Christ, amen, they may prosper in this life and they may do well, but let me tell you, when the next life comes, they're going to lose their eternal life and end up into a lake of fire. He continues and says in verse 36 of Mark 8, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And of course, the answer to that question is, a man is going to profit nothing, amen, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul, amen, and ends up in hell. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing that a man can give in exchange for his soul. You can't buy your salvation, amen. There's nothing that you or I can do to save ourselves. It's a done deal. It's a done proposition. It's been finished. It was finished at Calvary's cross when Jesus breathed his last breath and he said, "It is finished." In other words, there's nothing left for you and I to do but to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So number one, my friend, you and I need to take a salvation experience to the grave. Number two, we need to take a sacrifice experience to the grave. The Word of God commands us in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." In order for something to be a sacrifice, my dear friend, it must have cost you something. Amen. The verse we just read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 tells us the time to sacrifice is while you and I are alive. And that sacrifice is to be given through our bodies. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 13, we are given four specific sacrifices that a Christian can give to the Lord that will be well-pleasing to him. That's in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. The Word of God has this to say: "By him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." So we see, number one, the sacrifice of praise continually. "That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." The second sacrifice that we can give to God is to give thanks to his name. Verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 13. "But to do good is the third sacrifice, and to communicate, forget not." To communicate is the fourth sacrifice, "for which these sacrifices God is well pleased." Let's look at them one by one. The first one we saw was praise to God continually. My friend, if you praise God continually, it's going to cost you something because it's going to upset a lot of people. You may lose your friends. You may lose your family. You may lose your acquaintances. Amen. But that's a sacrifice well-pleasing to Almighty God when you give thanks to him. Giving thanks to his name, number two. If you give thanks to the Lord's name instead of the government, or to your employer, or a politician, or some charitable organization, it's going to cost you something. You may lose your reputation, amen. Everybody is praising and giving thanks to something or someone else than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one and the only one that we should be praising continually and giving thanks to his name. The third sacrifice that we can give to God that's well-pleasing, to do good. The majority of folks are doing bad today while they think they're doing good. In other words, this political correct group, amen. My friend, if you're doing good according to the Word of God, then let me tell you, it's going to cost you something. When you stand up for what is decent and moral, when you stand up against abortion, amen, and adultery, and perversion, homosexuality, there's nothing gay about it, amen, it's perversion. When you stand up for these things, amen, when you try and live your life according to the Word of God, the Holy Bible, let me tell you, it's going to cost you something. Amen. The last sacrifice we saw there is communicate, forget not. Now, the word communicate does not just mean with your mouth, but also with your money. Christians are very big when it comes to talking about what they are going to do for the Lord. But seldom do they put their money where their mouth is. Amen. The Bible tells us, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. My friend, if you say that you love God, then you should support his ministry, your local church that you attend. If you say that you love God, then you should support his minister, your pastor. If you say that you love God, then you should support his missionaries. But it's going to cost you something, amen? That's right. You may have to give up your cable TV, amen? You may have to give up supporting your radio and TV preachers, amen? You may have to give up playing the lottery. My friend, you need to take a sacrifice experience to the grave. Amen. Let's move on to the third one. The third one is a soul-winning experience. You need to take a soul-winning experience to the grave with you. That's right. Jesus said in the gospel accounts, did he not? He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. My friend, if you are truly following Jesus, then you should actively be trying to win someone to the Lord. The Bible reminds us in the book of Proverbs, he that winneth souls is wise. In fact, the Bible tells us that the soul winner will shine brightly as the stars throughout all of eternity. In Daniel chapter 12, in verse number 3, we read, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And they that turn many to righteousness. That's what you do when you lead someone to the Lord. Amen. You're turning them to righteousness. And if you do that, amen, then you're going to shine as brightly as the stars throughout of all eternity. The Apostle Paul tells us we are to relate to others where they are for the purpose to win them to the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll begin in verse number 19. Paul said, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself a servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I may gain the Jew to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without the law as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might be all means save some. In this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Often many will use this passage to teach to save the lost at any cost. Amen. You know, in other words, you become and you act like the unsaved to win the unsaved. However, remember this. That's not what it's saying. And remember this. We should never do wrong or sin for a chance to do right. Amen. The Apostle Paul referred to those he had won to the Lord in Thessalonica as his crown of rejoicing. Notice with me. In 1 Thessalonica with me, in chapter 2, in verses 19 and 20, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Paul wrote to the believers at Thessalonica, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." And Paul was saying, you know, what is our crown of rejoicing? What is our hope? What is our joy? What is our glory? Those that we have led to the Lord at Thessalonica, when they stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, you need to take a soul-winning experience to the grave. Number four, you need to take a suffering. You need to take a suffering experience to the grave. Amen. You know, the problem with a majority of Christians today is they want the crown without the cross. Amen. The Word of God tells us over and over again that the Christian life, most of the time, is going to be a life full of suffering. I'm not talking about suffering for your sins or your present or past sins. I'm talking about suffering for Christ. The Apostle Paul had a lot to say about suffering for Christ. He said, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." 2 Timothy 3:12. But he also reminded us, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 17. My dear friend, there's a day that's coming very soon when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign physically on this earth for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. And the Apostle Paul tells us, if we want to rule with him then we must suffer for him now. Looking in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. The Word of God has this to say, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." In other words, if we do not suffer now for Christ, we'll be denied that reign, that ruling and reigning with him in the millennium for that 1,000 years on this earth. A lot of times people will use that verse to teach that you can lose your salvation, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about saved Christians who suffer for him now will reign with him, or if they don't suffer for him now, they won't reign with him. Because we read in verse 13, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Amen. In other words, you cannot lose your salvation. So we see number four, my friend, you need to take a suffering experience to the grave. And number five and last, my dear friend, you need to take a serving or servant's experience to the grave. Over and over again in the gospel accounts, Jesus told his disciples, "Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Further he said, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, in servant of all." And he said this also, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." And Jesus reminds his disciples and us why he came to this earth in the first place. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many," or for all, amen. You know, Jesus gives us that great example of being a servant, that great example of humility, amen, to follow with the foot washing of his disciples in John chapter 13. We read in verses 14 and 15 of John 13, he tells his disciples, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. But I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Amen. Unfortunately, many churches take this and turn it into a church ordinance. Amen. Will they have the actual washing of the feet? And that's not what Jesus was trying to teach here. Amen. He was not trying to give the church a new ordinance. What he was trying to give an example of, even though he was the master, he still served those that were under him. Amen. And he says, if I serve those that are under me, I've given you the example that you should serve one another. Amen. But the sad thing about it is the majority of Christians today come to church to be served and not serve. All they're interested in is what activities the church has for them and their children. In other words, what can the church do for me and my family? Not what can I do, what can I and my family do to serve in the church. And so the church providing the most activities gets the crowd, amen? You know, but I praise the Lord, my dear friend, that Jesus did not have this attitude. Because if he had this attitude where he wanted to be served instead of serving and giving his life, amen, giving his life a ransom for many, we'd all be on our way to a sinner's hell, amen. But look at what the Word of God has to say in Philippians chapter 2 with me. Philippians chapter number 2, verses 5 through 8. "Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." See that? He took upon him the form of the servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He took upon him the form of a servant. Amen. He gave his life. Amen. His life was poured out for each and every one of us. Jesus said in Luke 19:13, he said, "Occupy till I come. Not sit on your hands till I come." Amen. We should be busy serving him and others. Yes, my friend, you need to take a serving or servant's experience to the grave. We have seen today on the pastor's study some things that we need to take to the grave. Number one, a salvation experience. Number two, a sacrifice experience, a life, amen, a life that speaks of sacrifice from beginning to end. Amen. We need to take a soul-winning experience to the grave. If you look back, when the Lord looks at your life, were you actively seeking to lead the lost to Jesus Christ? You need to take a suffering experience to the grave. Amen. Suffer. You suffer for him now. You reign with him in the millennial kingdom someday. And a servant, we saw lastly, a serving our servants experience. Well, that's all the time that we have on the pastor study today.